All right, y'all. So today we are going to talk about one of my favorite topics of all time. So I've had several tomato-themed episodes already this spring season, and today we are talking again about these delightful, beloved summer fruits that are the crowning jewels of so many of our growing spaces at home. But in today's episode, I am going to be sharing with you the two main types or the two main ways in which our tomato plants like to produce fruit. So we're going to be talking all about determinate versus indeterminate tomatoes. By a virtual show of hands, I would love for you to just raise your hand and let me know if you have ever heard of these two terms as it relates to tomatoes. If you haven't, don't worry, because there's a good chance that this is something that's not ever crossed your mind before. And if you have heard of these two terms and as they relate to tomatoes, but you're a little fuzzy on why this is important or why this is relevant to understanding, then you're in for quite the treat today as we explore the differences between determinate and indeterminate tomatoes, what this even relates to, why this is important to know as you're growing tomatoes at home. And I'm also going to give you a short little tomato pruning tutorial in today's episode. So tuck in, grab a cup of coffee, and let's get started talking all about determinate versus indeterminate tomatoes. Welcome to the Growing Space Podcast. I'm your host, Farmer Erin, owner of The Patio Farmer, and I believe that no matter what size space you have, you can grow food at home. Tune in every Tuesday as I share my best tips, tricks, and encouragement for tending to homegrown edible plants. I'm here to support your food growing journey. The Growing Space Podcast is sponsored by Plant Club by The Patio Farmer. Plant Club by The Patio Farmer is a monthly subscription service I started in 2020. It's a membership-based opportunity to take your growing journey to the next level. With four different membership options, you get to decide the amount and kind of support that's right for you. All Plant Club members receive access to my online community through a platform called Circle. Having access to this platform allows members to share pictures, ask questions, celebrate harvests, and get to know each other. All Plant Club members also have access to free seeds each month, along with information on how to plant and tend to their crops, with seeding instructions and downloadable resources from the Patio Farmer's Resource Library. Membership starts at just $14 a month. Join Plant Club today by visiting my website, thepatiofarmer.com/membership. So I'm going to break this up and first talk about determinate tomatoes, and then we are going to talk about the indeterminate tomatoes, and then we'll talk about the pruning tips that I have to share with you, and that'll be the episode for this week. Let's first talk about what we are talking about when we are talking about the determination or the designation of a tomato being a determinate or indeterminate tomato. What this descriptor refers to is how the tomato plant that you're purchasing and planting in your growing space is going to grow and produce fruit for you throughout the summer season. And it really kind of speaks to the amount of fruit and the way in which the fruit wants to produce for you. As we're talking about determinate and indeterminate, we're talking about fruit production and we're talking about how the plant will grow. So when we're talking about a determinate tomato, these are plants that have a set number of fruit genetically in their DNA that they are able to produce within a growing season. These plants are typically going to be your bush tomato varieties. The reason why these are bush tomato varieties, and speaking to the way in which this plant wants to produce fruit, because it knows, in its planty way, it knows how many fruit it has to produce, or it has a set number of fruit determined, if you will, a determined amount of fruit that it will produce in its 3 to 4 month lifespan. This plant is going to be kind of in a hurry, let's say, to fulfill its life mission and produce all the fruit that it can for you in this short amount of time. Okay. So the way that that is going to reflect on how your plant grows and produces is that a determinant tomato plant is going to send productive fruit producing energy vertically on the plant as well as horizontally on the plant. Okay. That's very important. I know you can't see me right now, but I'm doing like the motions of the flight attendants when they're giving like the safety talk before a flight and explaining where the exits are. This is kind of what I'm doing right now as I'm recording this episode. So a determinant tomato is going to send productive energy vertically and horizontally throughout the season as it grows. Hence why these tomatoes are typically your bush tomatoes. Right? Because they're not going to get as tall. They're not going to be quite as viney, and they're going to be a little stockier. They're going to be sending energy around and up, right? The exits are above and beside you for fruit. And this is really, you know, this is really important to know as we're talking through maintenance and a total season care of your plant. These plants are also going to produce fruit in clusters on the plant, and the fruit will ripen approximately at the same time. So with your determinant tomato plants, you'll get a couple of flushes of ripe fruit at one time. So you'll be able to harvest, I don't know, hopefully on a nice healthy plant, you'll be able to harvest a handful, a bowlful of tomatoes at a time. Some of your most common determinant tomato varieties are also hybrid tomatoes. Now, hybrid is not a bad or scary word, especially for us organic growers. Hybrid varieties can be really helpful. So hybrid varieties are modified genetically, but not necessarily in an irresponsible or unethical way. So there's definitely a difference between GMO seed and hybrid seed. So hybrid seed is when you have two parents, you know, two original plants that are crossed genetically to produce a single next generation. Okay. So that is your hybrid plant, is that first generation after the cross, after the parents come together. You can save and reseed hybrid seed. However, most likely that plant that grows from saved hybrid seed will be actually one of the parents and not the crop that you actually want to grow. So it's not going to be the true plant that you want. It'll be a reflection of the parents, one of the parents, usually the stronger parent, genetically speaking. Most of your determinant tomatoes are going to be hybrids. And why are these hybrids? Well, the determinant tomato, so having a tomato that grows in this specific way, is not like how a wild, if you will, tomato would grow in the wild. Not that many of us are familiar or like accustomed to seeing wild tomatoes, but it is not like a true form tomato. Totally fine, totally delicious, totally wonderful. There are pluses and minuses to growing determinant and indeterminate tomatoes in your growing space. That's the whole focus of this episode. So I don't want you to get the wrong impression that like planting determinate tomatoes is not as great as planting indeterminate tomatoes, but I do just want you to know the difference, right? So determinate tomatoes are generally hybrid tomatoes, and they're hybridized for specific reasons, generally for either production, uniformity of production, speed in which they ripen, or, you know, having multiple tomatoes grow all together at the same time, or for some kind of pest or disease resilience, I will say that even though there are some hybrid, there are a lot of hybrid determinate tomatoes, there are still some that are heirloom or not a genetic cross between two parents. So it's not to say that like a determinate tomato is exclusively hybrid. You can have some heirlooms, but by and large, most determinate tomatoes are not heirloom tomatoes. Some common varieties of determinate tomatoes are going to be your Roma tomatoes, great paste tomatoes. Those are wonderful for making sauce. Rutgers is also a determinate tomato, which is an heirloom variety as well. You have a Carolina Gold hybrid. You have Early Girl, which is a hybrid. A determinate tomato, Dixie Red, Bush Beefsteak, Marglobe. There's Mountain Delight, Campbell's 33, Homestead, Patio Plum, Gold Nugget, Micro Tom, a Zebra Cherry. There's also like Celebrity and Big Boy. Those are determinate varieties as well. And those are hybrids as well. And there's tons more. Like there's so many. There are so many different varieties of tomatoes out there, y'all. But that's just a handful. Oh, to summarize. Determinate tomatoes. They have a set number of fruit that they will produce throughout their 3 to 4 months of growing. They send productive energy both vertically and horizontally on the plant. That is super duper important. They produce fruit in clusters that ripen at similar times, so you're able to harvest multiple fruit at one time. And then finally, some of them are hybrids, but you can find heirloom determinate tomato varieties as well. And you can have organic hybrids and you can have conventional hybrids. So just keep that in mind. Let's switch over and let's talk about indeterminate tomatoes. Indeterminate tomatoes, as opposed to determinate tomatoes, do not have a set number of fruit, genetically speaking, in their DNA that they will produce throughout the growing season. There's a little bit more unknowns with your indeterminate tomatoes. An indeterminate tomato will theoretically just continue producing and producing and producing for you until either the frost gets it or maybe a disease or pest come in and impede your harvest. But an indeterminate tomato does not have a set number of fruit that it will produce. So your indeterminate tomatoes generally include a lot of your heirloom tomatoes, a lot of your vining tomatoes, plants that can get, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 feet tall. These are going to be your indeterminate tomatoes and most of your heirloom tomatoes. Now, because they grow in a vining pattern, indeterminate tomatoes send their most productive energy upwards. So you want to be thinking about the vertical growth, supporting your vertical growth when you're growing indeterminate tomatoes. That's where you're going to get the most production and the most productive points on your plants is from two branches that come off of the main stalk. They're called your leads, but they will split. And that is where you're going to get all of that beautiful tomato growing energy and production is from those two vertically growing stalks. Okay. Called leads. So that's very important to know. All right. Now, in terms of fruit production, you are going to get on an indeterminate plant, you will likely get single fruits that get quite large, single large fruits ripening at different times. So as opposed to determinate tomatoes, where you get clusters of tomatoes ripening all at once, on your indeterminate tomatoes, you get single massive fruits ripening at different times. Within the fruit itself, so within the solitary tomato itself, you can get different ripening times within the fruit. So that's why when you harvest an heirloom tomato sometimes, you have a green like shoulder or green top part of your tomato, and then the bottom part is like this beautiful, ripe, rich, juicy fruit. That's because there's a difference in ripening and maturity within the fruit itself sometimes. So some super common indeterminate tomato varieties are going to be your, and remember, these are also your heirlooms. So these are, generally speaking, not hybrids, although you can have indeterminate hybrids. Generally speaking, your indeterminate tomatoes are going to be your heirlooms, which mean that this is a true-to-form tomato. There's no genetic crossing. Heirloom plants, heirloom vegetables exist in their most natural raw form, okay? Unaltered, preserved. So some of the most common, and again, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of different kinds of tomatoes. So this is just a drop in the bucket of some of the most common indeterminate tomato varieties. Got some Brandywines, you have Cherokee Purple indeterminate tomatoes, Cherry Bomb cherries, Black cherries, Sun Gold cherry tomatoes are indeterminate, also a hybrid. Sakura cherries, Yellow Mini cherries. We've got the Amish Paste, which is another great sauce tomato. Striped German, one of my favorite, all-time favorite tomatoes. German Johnson, Green Zebra, Pink Bumblebee, Speckled Roman, Big Beef, Moscovich, Clementine, Valencia, Black Crim, Cherokee Green. Let's see, who else? Martha Washington, Wisconsin 55, Japanese Black Trifle, Hot Streak, Prudence Purple, Mountain Magic, Purple Bumblebee. I love the Bumblebee. I've been really obsessed with this recently. Pink Wonder, Carbon, Yellow Brandywine, Matt's Wild Cherry, Pink Berkeley Tie-Dye. There are so many. So many. That's just a drop in the bucket, like I said. To recap on the indeterminate tomato varieties, first thing is that they do not have a set or determined amount of fruit that they will produce throughout their season. So they are constantly growing, constantly sending out new flowers, new fruit sets for you. Indeterminate tomatoes send productive energy mainly vertically as they grow, okay? Very important for the next part of this episode to know that. Okay, so they're vining tomatoes. They're typically your heirloom fruits, although there are plenty of hybrid indeterminate tomatoes as well. Now, something to call out as we kind of move into some of the maintenance or some of the considerations that are important to keep in mind as you are growing these in your growing space this summer is trellising and supporting these tomatoes. Now, I will share in today's show notes, I will share a video that I love sharing with clients because it shares or it presents several different ways that you can build trellises or support your tomatoes as they grow throughout the growing season. So let's just talk about tomato cages. So I will just confess that I am not a huge fan of tomato cages. I don't find them easy to work with. I usually find that my tomato plants overgrow a tomato cage. And I find it's just really hard to work the plants when they're caged in like that. If you do like using tomato cages and or you want to give them a try this season, I find that if you are going to use a tomato cage, they work best on your determinate tomatoes. Those are your bush tomatoes, right? These are ones that do not vine. They stay a little shorter, a little more compact, and the tomato cage is able to support, you know, not only your vertical growth, but also that horizontal productive energy. The link that I'm going to share in today's show notes gives several different options for training and supporting your tomatoes. No matter if they're determinate or indeterminate, you can use any of these three techniques. I will give a little spoiler and share that the third technique that's shared in this video is a modified tomato cage. So it's there and it's represented. Typically, the way that I like to support and train my tomatoes is one, using stakes, like just regular old bamboo stakes or plastic garden stakes, or even like the thick wooden tomato stakes. I love those. I find they're really flexible. I can like pop them in the soil where they're needed to help sister and support fruit production throughout the season. So you might give that a try. I'll put a link in the show notes as well for some different steaks that you can look for in your local hardware store or that you can buy online. So be on the lookout for that. But another one of my favorite ways of supporting tomato growth, especially your heirloom or your indeterminate tomato growth, is through a technique called the Florida weave. And if you look at the video, it will definitely give you more of an overview, a visual of this practice. But essentially what you do is you get some T-posts, which T-posts are fantastic. I love a T-post, but it's basically like this heavy metal stake that you drive down into the ground, and you will drive T-posts on either end of your raised bed. And then generally speaking, for every 2 tomatoes or 3 tomatoes, you'll have a stake in between the next set. Okay. So let's say we have 6 tomatoes that we're trying to support with the Florida weave. And we'll have 1 T-post at the end of our raised bed, 2 tomatoes, a T-post in the raised bed, 2 more tomatoes, another T-post, 2 more tomatoes, and then a final T-post on the outside of our raised bed. What you do then is you take string. You can use tomato twine. You can also use just like a heavy duty garden twine. And you start at 1 T-post and you tie a knot really securely around the T-post. And then you weave the twine through and around each of your tomatoes to the next T-post. Then you go around and you go the opposite way to the next T-post. Wrap around, go the opposite way to the next T-post, wrap around. Then you come back, you know, so you're going to come back through your tomatoes and you add a string to the opposite side of the tomatoes than the side that you started on. And you keep going and you go around and you're like weaving the string around your tomato plants and around the T-posts. And in doing so, you're creating this vertical kind of sandwich between the 2 lines of twine, okay? And in between those 2 lines of twine are your tomato plants. And the beautiful thing about using the Florida weave is that you can add layers of twine as your tomatoes grow. So as they get tall and they start leaning over, you can continuously support them with new layers of twine. It's beautiful. And then when you come out to work your tomatoes, you essentially have just this gorgeous green lush wall of tomato plants. You can see everything beautifully and perfectly. You can make your cuts and your trims and do all of your pruning, which we'll get to here in a second, as you need to. I find it's a lot easier to manage a Florida weave system than it is to work with a cage. There is another technique that is in the video where you kind of build like this vertical overhanging structure out of some PVC and rebar, and then you hang string. So this is kind of the greenhouse tomato method. This is how a lot of farmers and greenhouse growers will produce or train their tomatoes to grow in the greenhouse, using the frame of the greenhouse rather than building this frame, which is a modification for home growers. But basically, you build a frame and then you hang string down to the soil and you connect using tomato clips, which I will also put a link in the show notes for these. But you use tomato clips to help support your tomatoes growing up the string using the tension from the structure above to grow vertically. Just some different tidbits, some different things to keep in mind as you're exploring ways of supporting your tomatoes this season. Now that you know a little bit more about how the different kinds of tomatoes grow, that may dictate a little more about how you plan to support your tomatoes. There's also like those super dreamy archway trellises, which you can either build them yourself, or you can buy an archway trellis online, or at your local nursery, greenhouse, retailer. Sometimes they have them there. You can, if you're going to build them yourself, you can also use the T-posts that I mentioned for the Florida weave and some either metal fencing or like a lot of people use cattle panels and bend them. Those are great, super sturdy. So if an archway trellis speaks to you for training your indeterminate tomatoes, those would be the best for that kind of setup, then that's totally an option for you as well. I will put some of my favorite archway trellises in the show notes as well for you. So I will say, you know, as we're talking about determinate versus indeterminate tomatoes, the more vertical space you can give your indeterminates to grow up, then the healthier they will be. Remember, because they are vining and they don't have like the set number of fruit to grow. So as you're tending to your tomatoes, it is important to keep that in mind and thinking through how you're going to support the different kinds of tomatoes that you're growing. Okay, cool. Also, I will share before we get to pruning, because I can get kind of distracted and like super into the pruning process. And I want to make sure that you have this information as well. When you are shopping for tomatoes, when you're buying tomato seedlings, a high quality seedling will have a tag on it that says whether or not the variety is indeterminate or determinate. And if you're purchasing these from a local farmer or at a farmer's market and the tag does not say indeterminate versus determinate, chances are it's a very high quality product and you have an expert right there that you can ask. So if the tag, when you're buying your tomato plants, if the tag does not say determinate or indeterminate, be sure you ask whoever you're buying those seedlings from what, you know, what the determination of the variety is, or you can just look it up online. Totally easy to do after the fact. But I would suggest that you do that so that you understand how your how the tomato plants that you have selected are going to grow for you throughout the season. Let's talk about pruning. So for those of you listening to this episode who happen to be in my service area, which is the greater Charlotte, North Carolina area, that's where I am based, Charlotte, North Carolina, USA. And if any of you are within the greater Charlotte area and you want a one-on-one pruning lesson for your tomatoes in your growing space, I would absolutely love to find time to come out and join you and give you a one-on-one lesson. I am just obsessed with pruning and talking about pruning tomatoes, and it can be really fun to just get together and help answer your questions and help you feel supported. So if you're interested in setting up time for a one-on-one pruning lesson and you live within the greater Charlotte area, feel free to reach out. I'll put a link in today's show notes for a consultation and we can chat through all of those things together if you would like. I also have a good bit of pruning information in my masterclass, The 6 S's to Success, which I will also link in today's show notes if you're interested in jumping into that class, benefiting from all of the curriculum, the 4+ hours of recorded content, and 20+ digital downloads and resources, tools that I have tucked into that masterclass. The masterclass is accessible no matter where in the world you are. You can sign up for that and benefit from all of that information that I have shared there. So let's talk about pruning. Oh my gosh. Like I said, I'm slightly obsessed with this. This is one of the main reasons why I love growing tomatoes at home. Now, the most important thing to know about pruning tomatoes, I will say it again, the most important thing to know about pruning your tomatoes is you only prune your indeterminate tomatoes. I'll say it again. You only prune your indeterminate tomatoes. And why is that? Well, as we have just reviewed, your indeterminate tomatoes are sending productive energy vertically, primarily. They are not sending as much productive energy horizontally. And as we prune, this is the case for anything that you're pruning, whether you're pruning your tomatoes or you're pruning your fruit trees or whatever it is, your shrubs in the front yard, whatever it is. Pruning is a manipulation of plant energy. You are making cuts on the plant to help guide energy from the plant into certain parts of the plant as it grows. So as we are pruning our tomato plants, we are helping to guide and channel the energy of the plant into its most productive pattern. So you only want to prune your indeterminate tomatoes because that energy is going vertically, right? That productive energy is going vertically, but the plant is still going to produce shoots out to the side that can be a distraction from that vertical production. If you were to prune your determinate tomatoes, you would be limiting the production on your plants, right? because they send energy, productive energy, also out horizontally. And you don't want to limit your production, right? Especially on your determinate plants, which are only going to create a set number of fruit for you, period. So only prune your indeterminate plants. There are three steps to take when you are pruning your indeterminate tomatoes. First is you want to prune your suckers. That is something that you can do anytime. Anytime you see them, you can pinch off your suckers. Now, a sucker is an example of horizontal energy or on an indeterminate tomato plant. And that is pulling energy, right, away from those main leads. And how you identify where a sucker is, so if you take a hand, right, hold it up, stick your thumb out, and put your finger up, like you're making the letter L, okay? Now, the index finger is going to be your main stalk of your plant, and then your thumb is going to be a leafing arm, okay? Take your other index finger and put it diagonally in between your thumb and your index finger. So when you see that growth growing in between the main stalk and the leafing arm, that is a sucker on your indeterminate plants. And that's a distraction of energy from the vertical growth. So whenever you see those, you want to pinch them off. Then the next thing to keep in mind when you are pruning your tomatoes is you want to trim the bottom leaves of your tomato plants so that they're not touching the soil. This is something that you can do with your determinate tomato plants, because a lot of our tomato diseases are fungal, and fungal disease comes from the soil. We want to reduce the introduction of fungal pathogens on our plants, which could be coming from leaves touching the soil. So that's the second thing when it comes to pruning, is pruning any leaves that are touching the soil. Third, and this usually comes later in the season, but the third thing to keep in mind when you are pruning is any horizontal growth of your indeterminate plants that could be causing plants to overcrowd or to like kind of grow into each other. When you see this, you want to prune alternating between the plants, but you want to prune or cut different leafing arms to increase airflow. So those are your three main steps to pruning. You want to sucker your tomato plants, your indeterminate plants. You want to trim the leaves from touching the soil, and then you want to increase airflow between neighbors of tomato plants. Two kind of best practices when you're pruning your tomatoes. First is that you want to make sure that you yourself are nice and clean. You want to use clean tools. Make sure you sanitize your tools before you prune. And when you are cutting, so number two, when you are cutting and pruning your plants, you want to try not to remove more than 30% of whatever foliage the plant has available. You might sucker all of your plants and find that you've removed 30% of the plant. If you have, then that's a good place to stop. Maybe come back in a week, 10 days to do some more pruning. You may find that after you have suckered and removed the bottom leaves, that you have reached 30% of what the plant has available. Same thing. Take a break, come back in 7 to 10 days, and continue to prune. Pruning is something that you can do throughout the growing season. I usually find that I start pruning my tomato plants, I don't know, maybe like 4 weeks after I plant them. So you want to give them time to get established. And then I will probably do 2, 3, 4 pruning sessions throughout the growing season. But pruning is a lot of fun. And if you have any questions about it, I am here for all of them. So you can always reach out to me. Please be sure to check the show notes today, because I am going to drop a lot of resources there for you, including a blog post that I've written that's up on my website, talking, kind of summarizing these points so you have them. So next week, I am going to be sharing another interview episode with you. So I had a conversation with a horticulture agent here in Mecklenburg County, and we talked all about fruit trees. It was so great. Such a great conversation. And so I have a treat in store for you next week. I'm going to be sharing with you the conversation that I had with Sam Humphrey, who is the extension agent, the horticulture agent here in Mecklenburg County. We sat down and talked all about fruit trees. So if you are growing fruit trees, if you have peaches, pears, apples in particular, you will want to listen to next week's episode. I've got lots of goodness to share and pass along from Sam. So be sure to tune in to that episode. You know, if you've listened to this podcast in the past, then you will know that at the end of every episode, I like to share just a fun fact, a little tidbit, a little morsel of information. And sometimes, usually it's not anything related to the episode itself. It's just something fun that either I've done recently or something that I'm experiencing in my growing space. And today, I just want to share that I went strawberry picking on Saturday and it was such a beautiful moment. And, you know, it really reminded me of why I love doing what I do, why I love teaching other people about how to grow food. For me, it all comes back to, I mean, so to be totally honest, like there are so many reasons why growing food at home is a wonderful thing to do, a wonderful practice. It's more than just a hobby, right? Like, there is a lifestyle that comes with growing food at home. If you're open to it, it is extremely grounding. There are so many lessons that we can learn from our plants. And on Saturday, as I was picking strawberries, I was reminded of one of my most favorite things about growing food at home. And that is just this constant supply of childlike wonder. And I was just overcome with excitement and joy as I was picking strawberries on Saturday, you guys. Like, I picked 2 gallons of strawberries in less than an hour because I was just like all about it. It was just magical to like pluck those fresh, beautiful, juicy berries off of the plants. And it was a sunny, beautiful day. There was a little bit of a breeze and the plants were just full of berries. And I was smiling ear to ear. I was so happy. And there was just a true moment of appreciation and gratitude for the earth and the plants and having that moment to just sit and be and enjoy the day. It was really delightful. So it's one of my favorite things. I never grow tired of the magic of growing your own food and just the awe-inspiring wonder that comes from watching food grow right in front of your very eyes. It's just pure magic. So I just wanted to end this episode today by encouraging you all to embrace your inner child, right? And find that childlike wonder and be reminded that when you grow food, you are inviting the opportunity for endless inspiration, endless grounding and perspective and joy. So I hope that you find a moment of childlike wonder in your growing space today or this week. And I am so glad that you tuned in today. I hope that you found this information helpful. And I'm always here. And next week, be sure to tune in for all things fruit trees as I talk with our local extension agent. Thanks again for tuning into this week's episode of the Growing Space Podcast. I hope that you learned something new and that you were able to take this new information home with you and implement into your growing journey and into your growing space. As always, I am here to support you and your food growing journey. If you'd like to learn more about the different services and resources and membership programs that I run through The Patio Farmer, please check out my website, thepatiofarmer.com. You can also follow me on social media. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and oh my gosh, most recently, TikTok. Wow, I know. Here I am. Patio Farmer is on TikTok. It's very exciting. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give it a like or a rating or a review if you want. Maybe share a little comment about your favorite part of the episode. Share it with a friend. The more interactions I get with my little podcast online, the more I'm able to help people just like you in their food growing journeys. As always, thanks for being here, and I will see you again next week.